Atheist Nomads, episode 142, news live in Tacoma.
Oh, God.
Woo! Yay!
And Lauren, would you like to do a different disclaimer than usual or not?
I guess we can go ahead and do the typical disclaimer, but live.
Okay.
Something about inappropriate for younger audiences. Talk about hoo-haws, which we actually are this time, so stop sending us emails requesting us to talk about hoo-haws. yeah, please be advised.
This is the sound of me drinking.
Okay, so intro music will play here.
Poke my eye.
Welcome to another episode of Atheist Nomads. I am Dustin. Joining me as always is Wesley.
Hello, everybody.
And joining us today is Lauren.
Yay, I'm the cute one.
Yes, my lovely wife. We are recording live in Tacoma, Washington at Doyle's Public House. As you will notice, this is more echoey than normal. It's because we are, you know, in a place that we don't actually control. We have an audience, which is really cool. This is only the second time Wesley and I have actually recorded together.
Oh my goodness.
Let alone in the same time zone. And we actually have people here. More people watching than recording. So, hooray.
Usually it's just our dogs looking at us disapprovingly.
Oh, God. And now you have people looking at you disapprovingly.
You're like, when are you going to throw the ball? Throw the ball, Lauren. Throw the ball. No, don't take the ball. Just throw it.
So, Wesley, how have you been?
Oh, not too bad. Putting my motorcycle through its paces, and we've had some fun cooking and going out places with you guys. So.
Oh, yeah. Wesley has a new title. He is now the Master of Ribs.
Fucking A. I tickle them all.
He made me moan more than I have in probably a decade.
He's not even joking.
I feel
those ribs
a little
were
deflated.
Amazing.
He food-gasmed over my ribs.
Yes. And I am not ashamed. And Lauren, you have a challenge.
I'm a little ashamed.
A man has made him have sounds like that more than you have.
Oh, yeah. There were good ribs. What's the name of that device that you was a plug?
Oh, sous vide. It's a
sous vide.
Yeah, temperature controlled water bath, and it's really fancy and blah, 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 blah.
Oh, but, very nice.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
Cool, cool. Yes. Dustin, how have you been?
I've been pretty good. Work has been quieting down a bit. I got the normal recording setup, I think, finally figured out. Only need a couple more cables, and I'll have everything all nice and stabilized. I am loving the new interface, but as you add in additional, more complicated stuff, it's always, you know, there's a learning curve and setup curve. So I am feeling much better about that. And those ribs were amazing.
And he got a promotion at work. So
it's a meaningless promotion to level 2 that comes with a small raise. So, hooray! More money.
Yay!
And Lauren, how about you?
Still in the middle of my medication change, so I have become filterless.
You're as very
been
perky.
Pointed out. And I have a lot of energy, which is awesome. But I do tend to say everything that's on my mind. So I'm working on that.
One really nice thing, though, is you don't have to turn. I wasn't trying to turn you. I was just turning the microphone.
All right.
One nice thing, though, Lauren, I do have to give you some props for. You knew that you were filterless before I said anything.
Yeah, yeah. At least it wasn't a surprise. I'm self-aware filterless, so yes.
Which sounds terrible. That's like being completely shit-faced and yet aware of everything.
It's been a constant guilt trip, yeah. So, and I also just got a job. It pays a whole $7.35.
Yay!
It's 10 cents over the Idaho minimum wage.
Hooray!
So, yay for Dollar Tree. But, you know what? We're over here in Tacoma, and I'm like, you know, screw that. We need to move.
Yeah.
I need to get a job over here.
Yeah.
That would be nice. I need to get some certifications and apply for more jobs out here.
Yeah, and that's basically a shout out to all of you guys who live in the area. Find us jobs and a place to live.
And for me, it wouldn't be just moving here. It'd be moving back here since I have lived in this area before.
For me, it would be moving from the Snake River to the ocean, which it would be mind-boggling.
And amazing.
Yeah.
All right,
so let's go ahead and move on into dusting off the degree.
That really needs a theme song. Do, do, do.
So we've been working through the kind of like the whole Christian concept of God a Judeo-Christian concept of God, expanding into, you know, one to two to four or five to thousands. Well, now we got to one that really is more of a god than the other saints, Mary. In the Bible, Mary was a young woman who had been born to elderly parents who were childless. And she was engaged to Joseph when an angel came either to her or Joseph, depending on which version of the story you look at. It would seem like it'd be one or the other or both, but no, it's they contradict. The Bible is really good at contradicting itself.
No.
And came to either of them and said that God's spirit would come upon her and knock her up.
Or come in her.
Yep, yep. And
Just the tip.
So then Joseph took her as his wife, but he didn't consummate the relationship until, or at least while she was pregnant with Jesus. That's the only thing the Bible says, is that he didn't fuck her while she was knocked up. Once that was over, all bets are off. Unless you ask the Catholics. Tradition is where Mary really comes alive. She is venerated as a saint in the Catholic, Orthodox, Anglican, and Lutheran traditions. She's also revered in Islam. The most revered woman in Islam.
Well, that's not good. Saying much.
No, oh no. That's still slightly above dogs.
No, okay.
It's better than nothing.
I don't know. Dogs can be pretty fucking cool, though.
Yeah, they are.
And then Protestants generally, with the exception of the Anglicans and Lutherans, Protestants really downplay her role, since she isn't actually talked about much in the Bible. At a minimum, when she is revered, she is viewed as the mother of Christ, and as such, she has special access to his ear over the other saints, because, you know, he was her mom, or she was his mom.
A Jewish mom, too, so...
Mm-hmm. You would think there would be less access. I mean, like, who actually answers the phone when their mom calls? Seriously.
I usually do.
I do.
It would be kind of weird if mine did. She's dead. But,
well, okay. Yeah, but you would really listen, wouldn't you?
No, actually, when she was alive, I dodged her calls, too. To be honest. She was not a nice person.
Fair enough. I bet Mary was a little nicer.
Now, she was the one that bitched at him for... not making more wine
at the fucking party, yeah.
Dude, well, I'm sorry, but the stereotype type comes up yet again. Mm-hmm. Jewish mom.
So, anyway, at the very extreme on these traditions,
he was only a carpenter, after all. He could have been a lawyer or a doctor.
So, to the Catholics, the Immaculate Conception was not her getting pregnant by God. It was her being born without original sin herself. So Mary's conception was immaculate, not the conception that happened within her. And so as a result, she was born without original sin. They also believe that she was always a virgin, that Joseph never consummated the relationship.
Obviously.
Basically that he was eternally cockolded by God.
That is the ultimate cockled.
He's like, I can't touch that. It's going to break something. The wrath of God is not something you want to mess with, especially a jealous ex-boyfriend God.
Who would want to follow God? I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
So between these two factors, she is permanently innocent, and as such, God couldn't let her die. Instead, she was translated directly into heaven,
bodily,
never facing death, bodily raised up into the heavens.
So, I mean, that puts her above even the saints.
All the normal saints. And when you take that and add to it the Mother of God, she's even above Enoch and Elijah, the other people who supposedly never died and just went straight to heaven. And now, of course, as crazy as this is, it is actually taken to an even further extreme, which we will cover next time, with the Lady of Guadalupe in Mexico.
We're going to talk a little bit about our honeymoon on that one. We got to see a whole thing about it. It was cool. It was cool, actually. When it comes to studying cultures, that is like a whole little thing on its own.
Yep. Oh, and this, our podcast is brought to you by Archway Hosting and listeners like you.
Yay! That's you guys!
You guys bored yet?
Hello!
So, Wesley, what do you have for us for history?
A whole bunch of not much. All right. So, this day... Oh, God, what day is it? April 14th, isn't it?
Yep.
Okay. April 4th, yeah.
Good. I'd be really sad.
You know, that's the great thing about starting with this day in history. You don't actually have to specify.
Well, actually, today is April 10th. Yes. This is going to the rest of the world on April 14th.
Good, so I didn't fuck up the date. All right. Nope. All right. This day in history, the year... I keep sniffling. This day in history, April 14th, the year starting with 1775. The first abolition society in North America is established. The Hooray! Society for the Relief of Free Negroes Unlawfully Held in Bondage is organized in Philadelphia by Benjamin Franklin and Yay! Benjamin Rush.
Yay!
A side note, the search for a better and shorter name starts a day later on April 15th.
Wow, yeah, because that was a very, should we say, full name.
That was a mouthful. So, this day in history, the year 1828, Noah Webster copyrights the first edition of his dictionary. The word twerking is taken out a year later, only to be added almost 200 years later.
No shit. Twerking was in the original one?
Yes, obviously.
Oh. Careful with your sarcasm, sir.
So, we are drinking. I will
mention that again. Oh, yes. You're almost through the Guinness half of your snake bite.
Oh, yeah. Guinness on top, cider on the bottom.
And we normally don't let Wesley drink when we record.
This is true. I usually do energy drinks. And it still only brings me up to about half speed. This day in history, 1846, the Donner Party of Pioneers departs Springfield, Illinois.
Sorry, I watch a lot of Mystery Science Theater, and they bring up the Donner Party constantly. It's just like, Donner Party, yes!
So the Donner Party leaves Springfield, Illinois for California in what will become a very, very long year journey of hardship, cannibalism, and survival.
It's the cannibalism that's the fun part.
It really is. I bet they had good taste in ribs, too.
I mean, if you're going to... Oh! Moaning.
Oh, goddamn, Wesley. the How other white work? Meat.
Oh, the other white meats.
Are you sure the ribs we had last night were beef?
No.
I thought they were pork.
Walmart. They fucking saw whatever.
He's sweetie-totting this.
Oh, wait, you said it was Walmart?
Those were probably
their underpaid workers.
Yeah. You know, they die, they fork them in the back.
Sure. Pig and there's the word long in front of it.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Long pig.
Do we need to get another, get a mic down there?
Oh, yeah. We got two mics right there. You know, bring one for you guys. Take the black one, it's longer.
That's what she said.
Yay, it finally worked.
Well, that's actually what he said. Yeah, I don't know. Anyways,
it's intimidating.
Yeah, and for anybody looking at our viewers, Meredith is purposely trying to stay out of the shot. There she is.
Okay. Hey, there's Meredith.
So the
year 1865, U.S. President Abraham Lincoln is shot in Ford's Theater by John Wilkes Booth. Early audience participation style theater popularity soon takes a dive.
Not to be brought back until Rocky Horror Picture Show.
And those stupid improv shows.
I am a tree.
On the train. In the rain.
This day in history, 1912, the British passenger liner RMS Titanic hits an iceberg in the North Atlantic and sinks soon after. Leonardo DiCaprio is robbed of his first Oscar nomination. I am really feeling this.
Wow.
All right, this is a good beer.
Actually, as a result of Titanic and how all the girls in school really, really liked it, I would not watch a Leonardo DiCaprio movie until Lauren made me watch one.
All right. I made you watch Leonardo DiCaprio and a George Clooney movie.
Yes.
Wow.
And George Clooney, I hated even earlier when he ruined Batman.
He even admits that he ruined Batman.
God,
he feels bad about that.
What was sucked with that is it wasn't actually him. Arnold Schwarzenegger was the one who really ruined it for me. Mr. Freeze
was fucking
awesome. Okay. Yeah, but we love his other movies. I think if you rewatched it with that like Arnold Schwarzenegger
George Clooney
mentality.
Was the only one I didn't like, so I was able to place all of the blame on him.
All right.
Mike Gillis actually does a add-on to his show mm-hmm. that you should listen to.
Well, we are.
That oh, yeah. talks about Arnold, specifically.
Arnold.
Podcast La Vista, baby.
Baby, yes.
So this is Donner Party, Titanic, Abe Lincoln shot.
Yeah, this is a fucking awesome day.
I got one last small one, though. I think it just dawned on me.
The Donner partied on you?
No, that this was the actually a day that we anyways. Like learned about in history class where we listed off all of these things.
This is a really fun day. Yeah. The year 2005, the Oregon Supreme Court nullifies marriage licenses issued to gay couples a year earlier in Multnomah County. And sadly, ooh. Oregon gets a little less fabulous.
Fab!
That's it.
Fabulous.
All right. Okay.
Fabulous.
And see, so now we love hearing from our listeners. You can always email us at contact@atheistnomads.com. Tweet us @atheistnomads. Hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/atheistnomads, or call us and leave us a message at 541-203-0666. We might even play it on the show.
Actually, if you do leave us a voicemail, we'll almost always play it on the
more
show.
More than likely.
Yeah. And if we love something, it. And if it's something like Happy Birthday, Jesus, we will play it more than once. That was one of the early messages we got.
Aww. Oh god.
Yeah, that was horrible and funny.
You also notice that was all muscle memory. It's like getting kicked in the groin and like pulling away. He's like, he could list off that phone number like nothing.
So, Lauren, what do you have for us for science?
Science!
Bitches.
Science, bitch! We've got some interesting things that just showed up this week. The first one. Okay, so we've discovered that most basic building blocks for life have been found on asteroids, comets, etc. Well, we have recently discovered one of the biggest ones that we're missing, and that is ribose. That is the R in RNA. Using ultraviolet irradiation on some interstellar ice pieces, they have basically created the ribose sugar. This means totally legit. We comet, asteroid, ice crash into Earth, life.
So the whole panspermia thing.
Totally.
Sweet.
Totes.
I just love saying panspermia.
Because the most recent one.
I love saying amorphophallus, which is the name for those giant carnivorous, not carnivorous, those giant plants. Penis plants. They're all.
So the last recent one on that was they'd figured out that everything in RNA, or at least everything needed to build RNA, could be created by lightning strikes in the Earth's atmosphere.
Yeah.
At least,
so a combination of a lightning storm and some ice from an asteroid, and you have life on Earth.
Sweet. Holy shit.
Yeah. So there may be.
We literally are made of star stuff.
Yes. Well.
In even more ways.
In more ways than one.
Wait, guaranteed.
But
we
I'm
are,
not sure.
Shooting we, star stuff.
I'm not sure if they found everything, quote unquote, everything, but this was the last big building block that they were looking for. So that's awesome.
Very nice.
Lovely.
Yes. Next up, this is a little bit of science, a lot of woo, but it had to be brought up because it's Isaac Newton. Recently, the Chemical Heritage Foundation purchased his lost recipe for sulfic mercury. Sulfic mercury is a key ingredient in making the Philosopher's Stone, which apparently Isaac Newton was a wee bit more than obsessed with.
Huh.
He searched for years on creating the Philosopher's Stone, and this was before there was a field of chemistry or even a fields of science. So even though it ended up being total bunk, it was basically him exploring chemistry, and I think that is actually still pretty damn cool.
Hell yeah.
So people have been saying, I can't believe Isaac Newton believed in this stuff, but
I can't believe it's not
you
butter.
You can't look back, hindsight, on science and say, oh, well, they went down the wrong path, so they were stupid. No, they were doing what they were doing. They were exploring, and good for him. And last up, we were talking about hoo-haws.
Vajayjays.
Vajayjays. Well, at least the big part attached to said vajayjay, the uterus. A woman recently, an unnamed 26-year-old, received the first U.S. uterus transplant. Unfortunately, it was rejected and had to be taken out 4 days later due to a yeast infection that was causing a blood blockage to the said uterus. As a result, failed transplant. However, they're going to try it again because they have so many people lined up for this. This was 200 people that applied. They narrowed it down to 10, and then finally the one woman that they did choose. So there's lots waiting in line for this possible transplant. We were discussing this earlier, actually. Yeah. We were saying if they made the transplant possible, would they be able to salvage uteruses from cadavers? I always thought that that would be kind of interesting. Just one more organ transplant on the list.
Is that uteruses or uteri?
It's uteri.
Well, conceivably, there's no reason why you couldn't, because it is an organ.
Yeah.
And like any other organ, it's the potential, if you have enough matches. The part that I would be the most concerned with would be, could you actually reconnect enough nerves and blood vessels?
Blood vessels, yes. Nerves, no.
But then also, because the whole point of that would be so that you could carry a baby. I do know with a lot of organ transplant programs, you do end up spending a lot of time on some very powerful immunosuppressants.
Yep.
And immunosuppressants, we're getting a nodding head.
That's going to,
that doesn't seem like something that would suggest you should go get pregnant now.
Not right away, but it is the baby step, towards that final stage where in maybe several years you would be able to have your own baby. That's why it would be targeted for girls or women who were in their younger baby child rearing age. Gazuntite, you tried to cover that up, but there was no way.
Okay, now, honestly, this would be one of those where I would say this is awesome that they're trying.
Yeah, it's been going on outside of the U.S. for a few years, but this is, like, literally the beginning stages of this kind of transplant technology, and it's really exciting. It failed, but you always have failures before successes, so...
Well, it was like the first baboon heart transplanted into human failed.
That's a baboon heart.
Second one, I think, worked.
Now they use pigs, right?
They use pigs more than baboons.
Or the mechanical ones are amazing. Yeah. But, yeah.
Well, mechanical, you also have the advantage of your body's less likely to try to reject it because it's not detecting flesh that is not you.
Right. The more you know. Diling!
Oh, so that's the end of science.
That's the end of science.
Let's see. Before polishing religion...
we're going to have a break?
You can... Yes, we're going to take an actual break. If you'd like one.
We're going to have our guests sing the Speed Racer song for us. They did so good earlier.
We totally did.
Okay, yes. 3, 2, 1. Go Speed Racer, go Speed Racer, go Speed Racer, go! And that is in honor of Seattle's current going Emerald City Comic Con, which I missed because I forgot my pass.
Oh.
Yeah, and what's funny is we had left the house at what, 8:30,
yeah.
And it didn't strike me until 4:15 in the afternoon.
We were like summiting Snoqualmie Pass, and she looks at me and is like,
"I forgot my fucking pass."
Yep.
Head hit dashboard. It was great. Anyway, so do you guys need a drink or anything? You do.
I do need another drink. Yeah.
There's another one sitting here.
Mac and Jack. Bring it over.
All right.
I will take it. Okay, fourth beer, and these are actually some pretty good
Cheers.
Beers. Mac and Jack's not... It's what, 6.5% alcohol, I think?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty light.
Oh,
it's pretty
God.
Light.
I've had, like, 3 of these Diet Cokes.
And with this break,
I'm
it is
wasted.
Important to remind you that you can always support us on Patreon at patreon.com/atheistnomads or at atheistnomads.com. On the right sidebar, there is the PayPal and Patreon links.
And don't forget that lovely little Amazon link, because, you know, it'll give us a little bit of scratch, and you won't see a difference in what you pay. So, fucking A, why don't you do that? Because you're...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's because of our listeners that we are able to pay for hosting and buy new equipment, and in at least the case of one drink tonight... Drink
hey,
beer.
Thank you, Arthur.
Hooray, Arthur.
And it is because
Arthur.
And it is because of the ability to write off certain business expenses that we were able to come to Tacoma at all. Thank you, federal government.
Yes.
Yay. Yay.
Write
that
off
was
mileage.
Enthusiastic.
Tax write offs are fun, goddammit.
Yes. So,
all right. So, now? For politics and religion, we are going to be continuing our state legislative update.
Go Idaho!
And one story we have been following closely is the Idaho Bible in Schools bill.
Mm.
Because this one is just so fucking deliciously disgusting and unbelievable. Yeah. Governor Butch Otter, who I normally affectionately call Little Bitch Otter, has actually shown himself to not always be a little bitch. He vetoed this bill.
Woohoo!
He had been told by his attorney general it was unconstitutional, violating not only federal but state constitution. He has demonstrated through up to this point his entire time in his three terms as governor. Yes, three terms.
He's very popular.
He won with like 67% of the vote for his third election.
For all the whole 1,200 voters that bothered to show up.
And
I don't know if that's the actual
number. He has demonstrated up to this point that he is more than willing to waste literally $2 million in taxpayer money to support unconstitutional legislation. And
anti-gay marriage there.
That was one of them. That wasn't the only.
No, that was $1 million, I think, was towards that.
That was the most expensive. There was already, I think, $600,000 taken out of the state constitutional defense fund.
Yeah.
Quote unquote.
Constitutional defense fund.
It's a fund that he set.
Does the Constitution need defensing? Defensing
the
over there?
It's to defend the state constitution.
To defend the state's rights to not follow federal law.
Right. Okay.
So he blew through it.
Yeah. And when the when the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals decided that Idaho's attempt to not allow same sex couples to get married was not constitutional and not justifiable, Butch Otter actually transferred $1 million, mostly from the state transportation budget, to fund that. So the Idaho Department of Transportation at this point,
the look on Arthur's face just says it
they
all.
Will do what? Absolute bare bones minimum to keep roads remotely drivable. If it's not the absolute minimum to make it so that trucks can drive on it, they won't touch it.
Huh.
So there's actually some streets in Boise that are state highway that need some serious upgrade. Not going to happen anytime soon because that'd require the state government to act. Well, anyway, Butch Otter, who has demonstrated this ability to waste money like crazy on stupid shit, vetoed this.
All right, Butch Otter, fuckboy of the week.
Fuckboy this week. This week, I actually want to do a toast to Butch.
Yeah.
It was to vetoing
this bad bill. Cheers.
Yeah.
Click. Yeah, huge relief, especially to all my teacher friends, because we already, those of us who grew up in the public school system in Idaho, have had to listen to teachers go around the whole evolution thing and basically ruin it by doing it their own way. But yeah, this was just one more nail in the coffin there for that.
And it is worth noting that, as they say, a broken clock is right twice a day.
Yes.
And so moving on, Tennessee has passed a bill to name the Bible as its official state text.
Tennessee.
And it is unknown, at least as the date of this recording, whether or not the governor will sign it. But the state attorney general has already said that it is unconstitutional.
Yeah, that's officially endorsing the primary religion. You know, that's
the attorney general actually said it violated both the First and Third Amendments.
Now, if they wanted their official text to be OMG, I can kind of understand. Text. That was a joke there. Phone joke.
Uh-huh.
All right. You know the joke's funny when you have to explain it.
Yes. And when the audience yells, I got a cheering!
I'm a little slow, too.
Yeah, thank you. Blame the beer.
Oh, and shout out to Arrested Development for Tennessee.
Yeah, so this is one of the this is really kind of a ridiculous piece of legislation, because the as far as any effect it would actually have, it is absolutely nothing. It's like when Idaho last year finally the legislature decided to stop fighting an eighth grader who wanted to make the Idaho giant salamander the state amphibian.
Totes love the salamander.
They finally realized nothing will happen if they pass this bill except for shut up an eighth grader who hasn't left them alone since she was in third grade.
4 years.
This is awesome. One of those bills that they pass it, nothing happens. There is no actual benefit. What they stand to lose is a whole bunch of lawsuits and millions of dollars of taxpayer money.
The only thing that changes really is an entry on Wikipedia. That's about it. And one line.
And Civil Air Patrol cadets from Tennessee headed out on the International Air Cadet Exchange will have to learn all of their state's symbols. And they will have to be able to tell a Swedish atheist Air Force colonel that, yes, my state's official book is the Bible.
Yay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll see what happens.
Which brings us to Mississippi. Since we lost some video, we're going to go ahead and repeat this one. The Mississippi Church... Whoa, that's the wrong one. The Mississippi Senate has passed the Protecting Freedom of Conscience from Government Discrimination Act. Okay. Yes, that is as bad as it sounds. Late on Wednesday, on a 32-17 vote, the bill had previously passed the House, but does have to go back for reconciliation. Mm. And of interest, this bill would define marriage as between one man and one woman, that sex is only appropriate and should only occur within such a marriage between one man and one woman.
Boo. And I mean, boo to all of it, but
and that man and woman are based on the sex assigned at birth.
Boo.
So what they're trying to do is discriminate against gay and LGBT, well, basically LGBT people, right?
Absolutely.
That's the goal.
But there is a completely backwards way of looking at this, because they're talking about inside of marriage. So that completely discriminates against heterosexual people, too, that are not married. So, which is fucking amazing. Yeah.
So, some of the discussion on this bill that I've seen had to do with clerks asking, and why would they ask? Well, it's obvious when two men or two women go in and ask for a marriage license that their life might not line up with the particular clerk's beliefs. But, like, when Lauren and I went in to get our marriage license last year...
Did they ask you if you had premarital sex?
They did not, but they asked for our address. We had the same address. We were living in sin.
Woo! Yes. It's a good way to go.
Yes, you were.
And living in sin, if someone's personal belief actually can have any legal protection, would be grounds to deny someone a marriage license.
I would like to toast this beer to saying fuck you to Kim Davis.
Fuck you. Here, here.
Fuck you
for asking too many personal questions when people are trying to get married.
And also, since the next story is also from Mississippi, fuck you Mississippi.
Fuck you Mississippi. Really.
IPPISSISSIM. I'm proud I can do that.
I just like that the short term for the bill is poofigja.
The Mississippi Church Protection Act.
Klingon?
So they're already protecting people's conscience from government discrimination. Now they're actually protecting churches. So
oh, yay. Yes.
The Mississippi Church Protection Act is one of those stories that I was kind of disappointed that our recording schedule of recording on Tuesday, releasing on Thursday, and then not doing news for another, the week after next. We were going to miss out on this. Well, I've listened to all of the other podcasts cover this, and they have talked about how, this bill goes that it would create church death squads, that it would allow churches to have security teams with the same authority as cops. All of this sounds quite outlandish and insane. Turns out, yes, that is outlandish. It is insane, and it's not what the bill says. So what does it actually do? And it turns out all those crazy claims all started with a post on the Free Thought Project blog, which was quickly expanded upon by Addicting Info, and then everybody just kind of worked from there. So it amends the state's concealed carry law to allow for concealed carry without a permit if it's in a holster. So far, does not apply to churches.
So far, that's what Idaho does.
Idaho has actually passed a bill that would allow for concealed carry without a permit.
Well, Washington has open carry. It's not legal, therefore it is legal.
Mississippi also has open carry.
This is just one step beyond that, and then this so is if one it's step in a
holster,
that.
If it's in a inside the belt holster, it's fine. This is adding on to a bill from last year that would allow for concealed carry in a purse.
A man purse?
If you have one.
Purse. So now a man's purse is inside his pants.
Or
that's what she said?
In the pocket. Yeah.
That's what they.
Fanny pack.
Really? I was going to go. Yeah, totally fanny pack.
Total fanny.
Fuck. All right. Yeah. So the second thing it does is it adds the list of situations where killing someone is considered justified to include defending church or worship service attendees. And I have in the past had a concealed carry license. That was a Washington State concealed pistol license that I applied for after testifying in a felony trial, and honestly, I was paranoid and freaked out after that. I never bothered to get an Idaho license, and I never bothered with any kind of renewal of it. Wesley has one in his hand right now.
Mine is official. It's still legal. It's still valid.
Mm-hmm.
Washington State.
So when I got that license in Washington, I looked into exactly what situations can I get away with killing someone? Well, when is that allowed?
You need to know that.
If you're going to be carrying a weapon, you need to know when you can and cannot use it. And in Washington, anytime you are witnessing the commission of a felony, it is considered justified to kill the person who's committing the felony. When I moved to Idaho, I took a look at what's the rules there. And I didn't bother getting a concealed pistol license in Washington because in Idaho, you have to be the victim.
You can't jump in and save people like so many gun fanatics are fantasizing about.
A good guy with a gun in Idaho is a felon.
Is as bad as the bad guy with
a gun. That is awesome.
So it makes sense because guns tend to escalate problems.
So if you're in Washington and you see somebody robbing the McDonald's, and you shoot the robber, you're fine.
Which I believe has happened.
Even if you're not in said McDonald's and being threatened at the time, you go in and play cowboy.
Yeah. And if you're in Idaho and you see somebody, which is an open carry state, so you've got that pistol on your hip, if you pull that pistol and you shoot the person who is threatening the clerk at the McDonald's, the cash register attendant, you will go to prison for homicide.
Yeah.
Woo!
Or at least manslaughter.
I am fine with that.
So what Mississippi has done here at this point is they have included in the situations where you are allowed to kill someone is if you are on a church security team and you are protecting a fellow member of your church. So similar
within
to states,
the church or outside of the church as well?
Somebody who is attending the church service. Involved in an activity of this church.
Okay. That still sounds like police, church security.
Or even defending your family.
Yeah.
Any state that allows you to defend yourself allows you to defend your family. I could shoot someone who is threatening Lauren because she is my wife.
That totally makes up for all the student loans.
So, the third thing it does...
I don't like your hair.
The third thing this bill does is allows churches to create security teams...
And then Dustin shoots me.
Oh, okay.
They must be trained in gun safety, and they must have a state firearms license. Some of the attention this has gotten is the fact that they can be trained by members of the church if they qualify to teach gun safety courses. People who are part of law enforcement or who are military members or veterans are considered by the state of Mississippi as being authorized to do these gun safety courses.
I was going
to
say, if you're authorized, you're authorized. What difference does it make who you're teaching?
All I'm going to say is that the Navy, sure, you could be in the Navy and I suppose get qualified under this, but they don't teach you how to use any wet firearms in the Navy. And honestly, the Marines, most of them are 19-year-olds and with M16s that are really shoddy and bad looking. So I wouldn't trust them either.
You're opening up some hate mail there.
Fucking hey, bring it.
So
those Marines are like, they'll put you down in a puddle just because they're pissy and 19-year-olds.
All right. So anyway, these security teams would be allowed to engage in concealed carry while acting in that capacity within that church. This also changes the state law that has churches on the list of places where it is prohibited to have a firearm. So only these people can have a gun at church. Only if they are licensed to carry a concealed weapon, and only if they have had training and been authorized by the church or other worship service organization to carry said firearm.
Well, of course the church is going to write off on that.
Wouldn't it have been funny if Dylan Roof was in the military and got out and
This is a reaction to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but what if Dylan Roof was the one that, you know, got the training, you know, through the military and then became the security personnel for the church and then still shot up the church? And you're like,
if it was the same church, he would have gone to jail for unjustifiable homicide.
All I'm saying is, why fucking have guns there?
All justifiable homicide means is it is a defense you can attempt if you are indicted. Mm. And you are also less likely to get indicted because you have a likely-to-succeed defense. This bill, in my opinion, is stupid. Because you don't need guns at worship services. That increases the chances of somebody getting hurt. You're in a crowded room. This would be like being in a theater and a good guy with a gun starting to shoot back at somebody who's shooting at you. What's going to happen? You're going to have
multiple
people with bullets flying everywhere. That is not good.
That would have at least made Superman versus Batman an okay
movie. Oh my god, this was totally like throughout my entire brain. It was like, it's just a vigilante.
That movie sucked ass.
Shut up, it was awesome.
The morning after I moved to New York City, that happened. Some nut job shot his coworker right across the street from the Empire State Building. And then the cops started shooting at the guy who was running down the street. I think three bystanders got shot, all from the cops, missing the gunman.
Right.
Holy shit.
Right, because he was a stormtrooper, apparently, in a former life.
God damn.
Late reaction laughter, yes. It's because stormtroopers always miss.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's funny now.
Yeah, definitely not a red shirt.
So, but back to this bill. It's stupid. Flat out stupid. But if you're going to do it, this is the best way to do it. And one piece of criticism I've heard is, what's going to happen if a synagogue or a mosque tries to do this?
Or the Satan temple?
Well, what's going to happen
The Satanists are going to just take this and run with it.
What's going to happen if one of those groups try to do it? Absolutely nothing. Because the only time this is ever going to come up is if someone walks into that service and threatens someone, which actually means it's only going, realistically, will only happen if it is a black church in Mississippi, home of a lot of racists, or it is a synagogue or a mosque or a satanic temple.
Come on, satanic temples, they meet in like bookstores.
White Christians will never get to use this defense.
Yeah, that's true.
Ever.
They just protected a bunch of people that they probably didn't mean to.
And realistically, none of those other groups will ever have security teams. Because they know that if they do, and the cops ever have to show up,
Everybody's
that their own
shot.
People are getting shot.
Yeah.
I hope that they realize that.
Because you know what happens when you get a concealed carry license? Like, I found out when I had one, is when you get pulled over, you have to tell the officer whether or not you have a weapon, and you do not reach for your identification or your license or registration until you are told to do so.
Do you just do jazz hands out the window?
No, you put your
jazz hands.
You roll down the window and you put your hands on the steering wheel and you wait for direction.
I would do jazz hands.
That's why I actually get my wallet out, put on the dashboard before he gets to the car with my hands on the steering wheel.
But even if
so, that I don't have to reach behind me.
There's a lot of fear though in police when they see somebody doing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Even reaching over to the glove compartment. I've been told by a police officer, don't bother doing anything until the officer shows up, because then you're allowed to grab, because they can see everything you're doing.
Yeah. I'm not taking that chance.
Because if they see you fiddling with stuff, a lot of they're scared. They're going to think that, and they're going to get defensive.
Sure, but I would rather have my hands on the steering wheel with my wallet out before they even get to the window.
Okay. All right. Well, I think that pretty much sums that up.
To rub salt in the wound, I'm currently texting with someone who actually got to touch Nathan Fillion.
Oh, my God. I know somebody who knew somebody who touched Nathan Fillion.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
The only text I got was, I touched his hand.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So, Lauren?
The stories they could have said if it was his nipple.
Lauren, with the podcast, we know people who know just about everyone.
Yeah, but Nathan Fillion, I mean, that's like Neil Patrick Harris.
We have interviewed people in Hollywood on several occasions.
Oh, yeah. And so we also are thinking of starting a new podcast of Dustin and I watching sci-fi movies and discussing the universes and stuff like that, because we watch a lot of sci-fi.
Yeah.
Which means that since it's a Nomad production, it would pay for my comic conventions.
Tax write-offs. Hell yeah.
So Patreon, you know, if you guys, you know, if you're interested in that, let us know. And Patreon, but...
Well, Patreon, yes, of course. What we'll be doing is the first episode we put out, we'll go onto the Atheist Nomads feed. Yeah, so with this new podcast, we'll be talking... I forgot where I was going with that. So, fuck it. Bangladeshi secular activist Nazimundi Samad, a 28-year-old law student and secular activist, was hacked to death with machetes and shot at a traffic junction last Wednesday. Bangladesh, what the fuck?
Well, that's road rage.
Well, this is just another reminder to listeners in those kind of countries.
Hide.
Please just move. Be safe.
Use
it's
tails.
Not worth your life.
Tails.
Yeah. Move.
Tails. It is a program. It's a live distribution. You can put it on a USB stick. You plug it into any computer, and it will give you anonymous access to the internet. No one will be able to track you. And the fact that we are talking about this, we are all on an NSA not watch list.
This is not the first
time we have talked about it. But if you link to or talk about Tails, the NSA will watch you.
Yep.
Yay.
So, hooray!
Hi, and we're speaking at Doyle's right now, so...
Yes, so please, please, be safe. Oh, the battery is dead on that one.
All right. Bye, audience.
So the audience we cannot see anymore. Oh, thank you.
Man.
And we are... I think we should just go ahead and do the feedback.
We've got a couple more stories, though. Canada has closed its Office of Religious Freedom. Trudeau's Liberal government in Canada has announced that the mandate for the country's Office of Religious Freedom has expired, and he will not be bothering with renewing it. This was a part...
It didn't do anything.
It was the part of the Office of Religious Freedom... Or, excuse me, a part of the Foreign Affairs Department, and as a result of not renewing this mandate, the office is closing. This office was run by a reverend. It was all towards religious freedom. Oh, man, I'm burping. It was all focused on religious freedom for religious people and not promoting secularism, which is what actually protects religious freedom.
Yeah.
Because an office of religious freedom might help say, yes, blasphemy laws are good. Somebody yeah. promoting secularism will say, no, blasphemy laws are stupid because everyone's religious speech is blasphemy.
I'm drunk.
All right. Yeah.
The Trudeau government has said that anything that the state government or the nation's government. Wow. The Trudeau government has said that any violations of religious liberty Trudeau. Will be attacked by Canada. They don't attack anyone. No. I have no idea what the hell I'm saying. I think you all know better than I. Yeah.
Okay,
so feedback.
Do you want me to take over here? I'm taking over feedback.
Are you our designated driver for yeah. feedback?
So, we're talking, this is the episode numbers, right?
Yep.
In reference to episode 137 with Trav Mamone, this is a nice little comment from Tanya Gibbs. I loved this episode. Thank mm-hmm. you.
Thank
that's,
you.
See, that's the stuff we love to hear.
On YouTube today.
On YouTube. In reference to episode 138, news for March 17th, Tawny Gibbs, wait a minute, I didn't hear anything about hoo-haws this episode.
Pussy.
Disappointed, winky face.
Oh, we talked about hoo-haws so much.
Yes, we
oh,
did. I
yeah.
hope you're satisfied, Tanya. I know I am.
Hoo-ha,
regarding...
Oh, and in case you are not satisfied with that discussion of hoo-haws, Lauren, we recently purchased a replacement for something of yours that broke.
A hoo-ha?
No.
We need to give it. We need to give it proper honor on the podcast.
My Hitachi magic wand, after serving a precious 5 years at my side, died.
Was it at your side or your front?
Mostly front. And it kind of just wasn't working. I decided to well, that's funny. I pulled on the wire where it actually connected to the main shaft, I guess, and big electric pop with a fire, and it was magnificent. I mean, if you're going to go down, that was the way to go down.
I disassembled
it
and found out the wires actually burned through in the inside
all the way to the motor. And,
so we bought a new one.
It was half off Amazon like the day
Hitachi
after.
Hitachi wand is a definite.
It's no longer Hitachi.
No.
Magic wand.
The magic wand.
Bought it.
And there's a spot in my back.
They just don't say Hitachi
anymore. Nothing else will get that.
Or Hitachi distanced themselves, but it's still... Yeah.
They call it the magic wand. Anyway.
Back is an erogenous zone, though, so...
Yeah, this
sure.
But there is just a muscle spot right there that... That thing just
so there's right
amazing.
Now a particular special spot. Then there's the normal spot.
Okay, that one. That
does
nice.
Not touch right now in public.
Okay, regarding episode 140, Miles Greb,
yep.
ECC 1334.
He was going to be speaking at Emerald City Comic Con this weekend.
Oh,
yeah.
He's
really?
Gold Rush comic guy that we talked to on the show.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool. Yeah. St. Jude Thaddeus is the best. He's the patron saint of lost causes. It's kind of meta.
Well, Miles is really awesome, other than he really likes Hillary.
Well, you can like Hillary and still be a good person. I'm all like, I like everybody. Katie Dotson, YouTube is my favorite place to watch, listen to the podcast. Uh-oh, it didn't go. And see the faces of the people I am listening to. Good job as always, guys.
Yay.
Woo! Trippin' Fool. Sorry to hear about your back, Wesley. I love the show and try to listen to every episode.
Much
as for the podcast, we can listen anywhere and favor star rank highest we can.
Fucking A. Thank you.
Yeah,
and
really
my
do.
My back is better.
Really do miss seeing y'all, though.
Y'all.
Hi.
Aw, so. Yay. Jaded Zappa at... Shinhon Soma? Shinhon Soma?
Not racist at all.
Shinhon Soma. Okay. I would watch on YouTube if I had the time. I typically listen while commuting or working. No time to watch. Smiley face. Good point. I think most people probably listen in the car or something like that. So
but,
or at work where you can't watch.
But we got enough feedback. We said if one person commented, we would continue video. We are continuing a video. And I made a discovery recently to improve our... Wow, I am burping. I made a discovery recently that would allow for much better video capture on the webcams for Lauren's face and mine together. And also for better catching Wesley. And I think soon we will actually successfully have a guest on video on the show.
Woo!
Woo-hoo-hoo!
Give me some time to work out the details.
It won't be our dogs.
It'll
be an actual person. Okay, regarding episode 144 with Ben Radford, Randy LaMonda.
141.
141 with Ben Radford. Randy LaMonda at Randy LaMonda. Speaking of clowns, the movie Evil Clowns from Outer Space. Love it. Scared me to death as a kid. They are making a sequel, I believe.
Holy shit.
I want the next one.
It's either a sequel or a TV series. Something in the back of my mind is saying TV series, which would be so funny. Okay.
Okay, so we got Rife from Sweden. So, hello.
Sweden?
Sweden.
Does he know Rabas?
Does he know Rabas?
Rife, do you know Rabas?
And
king
Walrus.
Of Sweden? I hope.
Sweden does not have a king. Sweden has a queen.
Yeah, well, if you're Rabas,
or am I wrong?
If your name is Rabas, you're definitely the king of Sweden.
I would be so disappointed if I was wrong on that.
Hello. First, let me tell you I'm less Dixic and Swedish, so my spelling is bad. Nobody's heard this before. Come on.
Dislic?
Less Dixic. Yes.
Dyslexic. I had to go read it.
There's a joke there.
I didn't get what you were even.
He meant dyslexic.
No, I didn't. Less it's funny if you're dyslexic. Yeah.
Well, maybe not.
And not sensitive.
Anyway, my expert is.
So, I have listened to your podcast from the start, and I like it. You are a calm pod, not like the scathing hint or the cognitive next hint. And I like the episode that you talk about mental problems. One thing that is interesting is the difference between your American view and my Swedish view, between religious and different religions. Some of the problems that you talk about so far is what we have in Sweden. We are atheist, agnostic, and are the majority. And as a nurse, a lot of my colleagues are religious. If you like, I can come to your show and talk, which would be awesome. I know probably you get this all the time, but I like you and we can have a conversation first via email. So yeah, hey, we're working on that. So
yes, the difference in healthcare in particular, because I work in healthcare, Lauren works in healthcare. The problem is that healthcare organizations, by and large, were founded originally by religious orders. Catholic, Presbyterian, Methodist, Adventist, if they're more recent. But they are religious in nature and founding. So it is not surprising that a lot of medical schools are putting out religious people. I remember in Walla Walla, in my Adventist upbringing, that as far as ministry goes, being a pastor came first. Medical ministry was a thing. If you were a doctor, you could do ministry and get rich at the same time.
And it's funny that this was brought up. Just yesterday, we were discussing, you know, how interesting it would be to have a podcast dedicated to secularism and mental health.
Oh, yeah.
And this awesome. Ties right into that. I'm not sure if this nurse in particular works in the mental health field, but I personally think that we would benefit from having an interview like that.
I'm actually of the mind that I would love to actually have a skeptically, atheistically themed
medical podcast.
Yes, about health issues, medical issues like this.
Mental health issues in particular.
Yes, thank you.
This is something that I could definitely see being a spin-off podcast from our show.
Like tons of guests in said fields. Yeah. And us talking shit because we don't know that much about it. Honestly.
I'm hearing the wrap-up music in my head.
Yep.
From the Recovering Gringo, I happened upon your podcast, oddly enough, via iTunes after Redacted's nagging to give him a review. Also to give other Redacted person as many one-star reviews as possible. I have no idea who he is, but the idiots at Breitbart seem to think he's hot stuff. Nice to hear voices from other parts of the country. I just, for the first time, rode through your fine state over the summer on a trip to Seattle. So actually through both of our fine states.
Yeah.
And I actually spent the majority of the time in Idaho, not actually on purpose. There was a work fiasco, and I had to pull over every 20 miles or so and walk people through crap. The explosive OSI model diarrhea is a bit for some people to grok. We call it initially the Father's Day Massacre. The massacre was of encrypted packets. Geek Gallows humor. Yes, I have tried to master the OSI model, and in my opinion, it is outdated bullshit.
All right.
It's packets of data flowing through magical streams. Let's just leave it at that. My experience with the locals was interesting. I was there when Charleston shootings happened, but listening to audiobooks, not news, or my normal slate of podcasts, I had no idea it happened until later.
Whoops.
The number of pickups with huge Confederate flags flapping confused the crap out of me. I'm used to that from my part of the country, from downstate Illinois, but really didn't expect that in a mountain state. Not sure if that's just normal or was specific to the events surrounding that. Would be interested to hear some perspectives on that from someone who lives there. Lauren, you are an Idaho native. What do you have to say about Confederate flags in Idaho?
Idaho was largely populated by people leaving the South in the Civil War so that they can go west and make a second South. So
basically, to escape reconstruction.
Yeah. So, not surprising that there is a lot of Confederate flags here, with little town names such as Atlanta, Dixie, so on and so forth. However, it's ridiculous that the blatant racist tones are being covered up as some kind of heritage.
Yeah.
That's bullshit, and we all know it's bullshit, and a lot of those people got called out in the media, but there's not much we can do about it. Idaho is the South of the West, and whenever I say thank God for Mississippi, it's only because that keeps Idaho from being at the lowest point in the U.N.
Generally speaking, when it comes to education in particular, the ranking number 50 is Mississippi. Number 49 is usually Idaho.
It's a tie between Idaho and Alabama, and I happen to know
and occasionally
for a fact,
Arkansas.
People in Alabama and Arkansas, they also say thank God for Mississippi because
yeah,
Alabama's awful,
and Mississippi's worse apparently.
So if you were to redraw the map and move places around, Idaho belongs like right in between Mississippi and Arkansas, not next to Oregon and Washington, the bastions of liberal awesomeness. Climatologically, not so much. Oh, where are we at now? If you want to contact us, you can always call us at 541-203-0666. You can email us at contact@atheistnomads.com. If you want to send Wesley hate mail, wesley@atheistnomads.com.
You know,
you can get me with information about technical production at dustin@atheistnomads.com. And Lauren,
or if
at,
you just want to compliment him on his wife.
And Lauren at sciencemyself@gmail.com.
Yay.
For her new project that might eventually take off.
A side project of Nomad Productions.
You know, my buzzy, kind of drunky laugh sounds kind of like Salacious Crumb.
And always facebook.com/atheistnomads, Twitter/atheistnomads. And we also always want to thank our supporters. You guys rock. We couldn't do it without you.
Seriously.
And actually, no. We wouldn't do this without you.
And next week...
I joke.
And next week, we'll be back at you with an interview.
I gotta pee.
All right!
Yeah!
We are done.